people connect, families grow, lives achieve. People connect, families grow, lives achieve.
I have a question for you. How many of y'all could feel a little better? You got a couple things that are ailing you, like you're sick in a couple areas. How many of y'all know some people who have cancer or sugar diabetes or something, and you're really upset about that right now? You'd like to help them get better. Well, the good news is Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said this, Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about the connection between being thankful and grateful and receiving your healing. First of all, it's God's will to heal you. Secondly, I want you to know that if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil, right? There are certain things that we can do, though, to help God out. Number one, we could do some things like start saying positive things, like he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about some things that we can do in the natural and subsequently come in with the word of God to help bring clarity. Anybody ever heard of this new disease out called Ebola? Anybody heard of this deal? And if you accidentally sneeze on a plane and jokingly say, I have Ebola, they bring men in protective suits in, right? And it's kind of like saying you got a bomb at TSA. You don't want to do that. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have Ebola, do you? This is a big deal, right? But remember when anthrax was supposed to get us and Y2K was supposed to get us? And so these are legitimate things, but oftentimes they are kind of blown up through fear for ratings. Now, I know all about ratings. Some people are watching us on ABC 25, Fox 29. I don't know all the different stations we're on, but every week we get a report from Nielsen Ratings. And they can tell us who's watching in Palm Beach County, who's watching in Jupiter, who's watching in Stewart, who's watching in Delray, who's watching in Florissant, Ferguson. Wherever, they tell us where they're watching. So I understand ratings. I understand, though, for CNN, who, by the way, has subsequently a million people watching a day, which is a lot, but not really. A million people watch CNN in one day. They can sell more Lunesta commercials at a higher price range if they say, we'll be back with breaking news in a moment. Ebola is going to destroy you and everyone who ever ate a hamburger. We'll be right back. It's fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real, right? But God said, I've come that you might have life, and oftentimes information gives you power. So we're going to talk about healing. Number one, it's God's will to heal you. Number two, the connectivity with being grateful. There's a passage in the Bible, and it's actually in the red letter edition. This is Jesus speaking. Now it happened, he was in Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, there met him 10 men. We're in a series called 10. Everybody shout 10. 10 men who were lepers, and they stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices, and they said, Lord, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And they were healed as they went. Check this out. Jesus is speaking. 10 lepers are at a distance because they live in a leper colony, because they're sitting here and parts of their ears are falling off, parts of their face is falling off. This leprosy is horrible, and they're quarantined, right? So they're at a distance, but they cried for help to Jesus. They had heard that Jesus had healed the woman with the issue of blood, that Jesus had healed blind Bartimaeus, that God had healed the man with the withered hand. And so they had heard of the goodness of God and that Jesus was the answer in the cure for leprosy, so they yelled out, have mercy on us. In other words, they asked God to help, not just the medical facilities, because medicine was doing everything that it could do. But I'm here to tell you that chemo oftentimes can't heal and cure cancer the way God can. I'm telling you that sickness and disease, he can drive it, come on somebody, far from the midst of you. It's God's will to heal you. So don't learn to live with sickness and disease. Learn to live without it and invite God in by yelling like the 10 lepers did. They yelled, have mercy on us. And then God gave them instruction. God will always give you instruction. And that's part of what I'm doing right now today, is giving you instruction from God's word. And with the proper information, you can live a holistic lifestyle. He said, go show yourself to the priest and then you will be healed. And we just read, they were healed as they went. Now let's talk about the difference between a miracle and a healing. Miracles are fun. Have you ever heard about somebody getting a miracle? It was instantaneous. It was like, wow, it's a miracle. Everybody shout, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And miracles, howbeit, are fun and they're nice. They're not as cool as being healed as you go. Because Jesus eventually looks at this guy and he says in the very last verse that I'm going to read you, verse 19, he said to them, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. It's the same sentence that Jesus used with the woman with the issue of blood. He said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. When you get a miracle, you don't know how you got it. But when you get information, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and you know that it is God's will to heal you, and you say, with long life he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all damnation and destruction and sickness. Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. When you get that information and you begin to say that over your life and you do what you can in the natural and you obey the instructions of God, then when the enemy comes back to steal, kill, and destroy, you can say, I don't need to go to another miracle crusade. I got my healing with my faith, and Jesus said, I have been made whole. So miracles are sexy and attractive and really cool, but technically it is better to have faith communicated to you from God's word so you believe it's God's will to heal you, and also, listen to this, that God already has healed you. 2,000 years ago, when he hung on the cross of Calvary and he said, it is finished, in that same line in the passage in the synonymous Gospels, it said he became sick that we could be well. See, it's not God's will just to heal you. It is God's will that you live in divine health. It gives glory to God when he says, wait a minute, if you go to Faith Church, we don't believe that one out of every four have to die of cancer. Now, in America, we know that statistic is true. And we have a lot of good people that we know, my dad, he died of cancer. My wife had stage 4 cancer over 11, 12 years ago, and they said she could never have a baby. God miraculously healed her through her faith, prayer, confession, and eating the right things. Come on, somebody ought to give God praise. But we believe that we can change the statistics when we change the way we think and we change the way we live through God's word. Now, what's interesting, when Jesus said, go, show yourself to priests, and you'll be healed, there's this passage here, in the same passage, it says, go show yourself to the priest. He saw that he was healed, verse 15, he came back, it glorified God. He fell down on his face, giving thanks to the Lord. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, were there not 10 that were cleansed? Where are the 9? Oftentimes, I've found that only 10% of the people continue to receive and keep their healing. God heals everyone. God will heal everyone. Even atheists believe in healing. They cut their hands and go, God, I'll be glad when that heals. How many of y'all like me and you've cut your hand enough times, you should need a new one, but miraculously skin begins to scab over and to heal. This is a miraculous thing. The Bible said we're fearfully and wonderfully made, but there's a direct correlation between us getting our healing and keeping our healing on how grateful we are. The one came back, shout, I want to be in the 10%. That go back and say thank you. Now, I know everybody in here has got some kind of ache or pain, or arthritis, bursitis, stigmatism, hyperactive thyroid, something going on in your life. But I'm telling you, thank God for what you do have and don't focus on the one thing that you don't have. It brings sadness. Do you remember this? The Bible said a merry heart doth good like a what? Medicine. I believe that God's word is medicine and it brings vitality when we speak what God said about us, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We want to be the 10% to go back and say, thank you, Lord, for that you healed me and you delivered me. And we need to be the type of people that do what we can do and trust God to do what we can't do. Now, we have a whole lot of faith in the big C word, cancer, because one out of every four people get it, and a lot of friends of ours died from it, and we hear a lot about its ability to kill you. So we have a lot of faith in it. We need a whole lot of faith in the big J word, Jesus, and we need more faith in the J word than we do the C word. And to put it on record, to make everybody relax just a little bit, Ebola's not going to get you. You need to be worried about heart disease more so than Ebola. You need to be worried a little bit more about cardiac arrest than you do Ebola. You need to be worried a little bit more about alcoholism than you do. You need to be a little bit more worried about texting and driving than your likelihood of getting Ebola. Okay, so let's get rid of the fear, because fear brings torment. And let's walk in faith and continue to live our lives, continue to travel, and continue to trust in the Lord, who he said in his word, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. We're not trusting in the government. We're not trusting in medicine. We're trusting in the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is his name. But again, these guys were losing their skin. They were dying of leprosy. They were quarantined. Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? Nine of them thought, oh, I got to make up for lost time. I've been on lockdown. I want to go see my family. I need to start making money again. One guy who was a foreigner came back and said, thank you, Jesus. When he said that to him, Jesus was not speaking English as we know it today. In his language, he said, your faith has made you sozo, soteria. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. Not only are you healed now emotionally and physically, I'm going to give you everything that you lost, money, all your time back, and you're going to heaven because you have now received me and thanked me and invited me into the life. Most theologians agree that the nine guys did not continue to keep their healing, and the nine guys you probably won't see in heaven because they did not go back and thank God, and he didn't pronounce wholeness on them. Of course, we want to live and go to heaven, but how many like me, you don't want to go today? But we also want to live a good life now, right here, so we can enjoy our life and have vitality and move around. Here's one of the ways you do it. They said, God, help me. Everybody shout, God, help me. I tell you right now, God's going to help you. Then they obeyed an instruction. Now, let me talk to you about instruction. You're not going to like this part. I like Krispy Kreme donuts. Some of y'all like that. The hot sign's on. It's unbelievable. Sometimes I'll get it, and I'll look at it, and I'll go, all of me wants all of you. All your curves and all your edges. All your perfect imperfection. But it's fake food. Sometimes growing up, we would go through McDonald's and I would get a Big Mac. I didn't know at the time because my family told me nothing about health. I didn't realize that the Big Mac had half of the daily amount of calories that I should allot myself to be at my proper weight. Plus, they were calling it fast food when in reality it wasn't food at all. And then I would pray over this food. God bless my food. And God's looking and going, that's not food. This is fake. This is not food. Okay? It's getting really quiet in here today in this library. Bless this food. Then we are taking it and we're drinking Diet Coke, hence the word die, and we are putting Diet Coke in our system, which is full of aspartame, and your body is made up primarily of water. So right now, I have a brain. Raise your hand if you believe I have a brain. 10% of you. That's awesome. So 10% of you think I have a brain. My brain is sitting in liquid right now. The liquid that I want it to sit in is water. My pancreas and colon and kidney and everything is being surrounded by water because we know for a fact we should drink a minimum of 8 glasses a day. But I'll tell you, if you drink about 10 or 12 glasses a day, you will lose weight just because of the exercise because you're going to have to run to the bathroom every 5 minutes when you drink a lot of water. But oftentimes I will walk through the office or various aspects of the church or just doing life, and I will see somebody with a jug of Diet Coke, and it just looks like something that's bigger than a quart of milk. I mean, this is, anybody ever seen these things? And it's huge, but they can go to Quick Trip, and for 79 cents, they can continue to put all of that aspartame up in their brain, and they wonder why Alzheimer's and dementia is happening. Could it be on an all-time rise because of what we are putting in our body? The Bible said he satisfies my mouth with good things. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the enemy. Now, if I owned Coca-Cola, I would certainly want to be, and other products, I would want to put stuff in there that made you addicted to it so you continued to come back for it. Does it make sense? If I were the FDA, who is now protecting you, I think it would be smart while you're in your earning years to take all your tax dollars, but now that they've done the math on it, there is no more money to pay your Social Security. So it'd be perfect for you to continue to eat the pink goo and drink the Diet Coke so that you could die just in time before they needed to pay you what you need. I'm going to live so long, I'm going to get all my money I put in there. Somebody ought to say, I want my money. I want to live so long my friends in heaven think I went to hell. Come on, somebody. God said I could live a long time, and I want to live a long time. But I just don't want to live a long time sick and full of all kinds of medicine. Okay, now here we go. The lepers, they cried out to God. Everybody shout, cry out to God. Ask him to help you. Then God gave them instruction. Shout, I'm getting instruction right now. You need to go to a church where they preach holistic stuff, where they preach the word of God and not just some homiletics and hermeneutics and try to put it all together and teach you about post-trib, mid-trib, millennial reign and rapture and the second coming and post-trib and all this stuff. I mean, I could confuse the heck out of you guys with all this stuff, theological jargon that would make you confused and you would leave and go, oh, he's deep. Or I could tell you, all of me wants all of you. Come on, somebody. And give you information that gives you power so that you can live a long time. And I must say that I'm kind of stingy in this. I do want you to live a long time. Number one, because I love you. And number two, you're trained as church members. I don't want to lose you. I've got you trained just like I want. You say amen. When I say I didn't mean it, you say, amen. You can't lose that. Shout, I'm going to live a long time. So back to this. Jesus said, didn't I heal 10? He said, oh, only one came back. 10% of the people do what the other 90% won't do. So they reap the rewards. It's only insanity to think that we can continue to do the same things over and over and get different results. Oh, I pray, God, that you heal me. Yes, but God's saying, will you help me? You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and with all the stuff you've eaten, you should be dead. I just need you to change the way you eat, though. Can you help me? Now, here's where people, they challenge me. They say, well, if I were rich, I would go to Whole Foods, which I, by the way, Whole Foods, man, are they ever pricey? Isn't that right? So that's why you go to Whole Foods and all that stuff that's there. They don't have a lot of security cameras. You eat lunch while you're walking through and you go through the areas. I didn't mean it. I might test this stuff just to make sure it's good. But really, it's not that expensive to eat better food. One, you're eating more fake food because your body is still hungry after you eat the goo because it's not real. So it goes, give me food. I promise you this. If you will, and I'm not saying you be a vegetarian because I'm not. I'm a meatitarian. But I am saying that we must counterbalance the junk that we eat with balance and give our bodies some natural things that are alive. So here's what I do. I ask God for help. God, help me. Because all of my family died in their 50s and I'm 45. I did the math. It's not pretty. But I decided that I was not going to live the way my family lived. So they would eat, and I did the opposite of what they would eat, okay? So I started drinking green smoothies. There's a book called The Green Smoothie Book. I've never read it. I've scanned through it. It's got good stuff, but I just had doctors and friends talk to me about eating greens, and I started doing it years ago. Here's what it looks like. You'll get organic greens, okay? You don't want stuff that's sprayed with pesticides. And then you wash it at your house. So you got kale, and you got all lettuce, and you got cauliflower, and you got wheatgrass, and you get all this, and you line it out on your counter, okay? And then you cut it up, and you get these big Ziploc baggies, and you put it in a Ziploc baggie. Then you go get other stuff. Read it. Get on the internet. Just Google it. Just stuff like Whole Foods. Like, what's a whole food supplement? So you get a big old scoop of greens that's got loads and loads of antioxidants and cancer-fighting, ingredients, and you throw that in there. And you put in various different kinds of powders, okay? And it would be in that green smoothie book. Then I shake it all up, and then I put it in the freezer. Then every morning when I get up, I go back down there, and I take half of that bag, and I put it in the blender. Then I go and I take a little bit of Mona V and I pour that in there and I put a little bit of cod liver oil. That is some nasty stuff, but if you lace it with these other ingredients, you really don't taste it. Cod liver oil is like slick 50 for your veins. You will be, it's unbelievable what happens. See, most of the doctors tell you to take an aspirin, which causes other problems. You'd have to eat like 20 fish to get what's in a little bit of cod liver oil. So I put a little bit of cod liver oil. Then I put a little bit of vinegar in there. It has incredible powers in it to kill disease and bacteria. And there's various things that I put in there. I won't bore you with all of it. Then I blend it up, maybe a banana, frozen banana in there, so it's cold. And it's quite tasty, actually. And then I give it to my wife, and I give it to my daughter, and they all say it like I say it. He satisfies my mouth. We suck it through a straw because you don't want to stain your teeth. I satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Lord, we thank you today that our bodies do not produce growth, tumors, cancers, or any other diseases. God, we thank you today that this stuff is bringing vitality and health to our body. God, I thank you that we will always look 20 years younger than we are, and we will always feel great, and all of our arteries are free from plaque and blockages, and all of our blood sugars are right, and everything that has to do with our body is going to serve us well. Joshua and Caleb were in their 100s, and they were good. Abraham and Sarah were in their 90s, and they started a family. God, I'm only 45, but I thank you, Lord, that you are satisfying my mouth and keeping healing running through my body. God, help me with the stuff that's genetic and hereditary, but I'm going to help you help me stay healthy. Come on, give God praise today. Am I helping anybody? Getting quiet in here. Now, it's important who you hang around. If you find yourself at buffets for $7.99, all you can eat, it's possible that the stuff is not really real. Or it is possible this is real chicken. But if you can grow a full-blown, huge chicken in 30 days, it is possible that they are shooting this with hormones to create massive growth. So it only stands to reason if you would put these growth hormones in your body, you are what you eat, and you eat it, you would start growing things. And that's why we see little girls now, 9 years old, going into their cycles, and they are now producing and looking like women very young. Part of it is because of the growth that we put in them, okay? But secondly, that's why oftentimes we have all kinds of disease in our body, and we grow growths because we're growing chickens in a week. So let's move on. I can tell I'm boring you. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria, and he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Everybody shout, he was a leper. So this cat's got the Ebola of the day. He's a great king. He's very successful financially. He's living in a mansion if you study it out. And when they would go in and they would defeat the enemies of God and the enemies of the territory, they would come back and they would bring the possessions such as gold, silver, chariots. They're very wealthy. They would also bring back the people who were solid, good help. In his house, he just happened to have Naaman, this guy that has leprosy. He just happened to bring his wife back, this maid. She was nice. She was obedient. She was a Christian. She loved God. Every day, she would see Naaman get a little bit worse. She'd be changing his sheets, and there would be the blood and parts of his skin that were on there. And she would tell the wife, oh, I wish that Naaman knew about Elijah, the man of God. Elijah believes in healing. Faith Church believes in healing. Pastor Dave believes in healing. Oh, because you will be what you hear. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you go to a church where they tell you, you never know what God's going to do, pray for me. God, I don't know why you put the sickness and disease on them to teach them something. That's the wrong church. Get out of there as quick as you can. Go to a church that preaches the Bible, which says, with long life, he'll satisfy you. Come on, somebody. Send his word and it healed him. You'll die at that kind of church. So now, she's so sad. Naaman eventually gets talked into going and seeing Elijah. So he takes all this silver and all this gold and all these chariots, read it in the Bible, and he shows up at Elijah's door and he knocks and his protege answers, Naaman. And Naaman says, how can I help you? He said, I'm Naaman. Here's the letter from the governor. I'm there to see Elijah. So he tells Elijah, man, there's got all these chariots and all this money and we're needing some money. And this guy says, he's going to give all this money if you'll come out and heal him. And he said, you know what? You can't buy a healing from God. Tell him to go jump in the nastiest river out there, and he tells him the river to go in and tell him to dunk in it 7 times. Essentially, he told the guy to go jump in the lake. And now this guy's leaving, and while he's leaving, check this out, while he's leaving, he's mad and he's offended. He's not grateful. He's not thankful. He still has his leprosy. But this little woman, this is why it's important that God put me in your house today. This is why it's important to be around the right people. This woman says, oh, Naaman, please don't go back mad. Please don't go back offended. If he told you to go to the south of France, you'd have done it. If he told you to go to Tahiti, you'd have done it. If he said something hard, you would have done it. He's not asking anything hard. He just asked you to obey the Lord and humble yourself right now and ask God for help. And he submitted to it. He dunked 1 time, 2 times, came up 3 times, nothing, 4 times, nothing, 5 times, nothing, 6 times, nothing. But on the 7th dunk, he got all his dunks in a row. And on the 7th dunk, he came out, and the Bible says that his skin was brand new. The leprosy was completely gone. The part of his ear that had fallen off was back. Somebody ought to say amen. And he obeyed God, and he was grateful. Verse 15 says, and so he returned to the man of God and said, thank you. There is no other God but our God, the God of Israel, the Alpha and the Omega, Yahweh, the Redeemer, our healer. This God, Emmanuel, God with us, he's the healer. It gives God glory when he heals people. So you need to ask God to heal you, submit and be grateful to the healing, and then do what you can do, and then God will do what you cannot do. And it's so important that you surround yourself with the right people. Because if you ask the right people the right questions, you'll get the right answer. I was a pilot for years for my dad, who I love so dearly, but he died at 56 years old of cancer. And I remember flying him, and I dropped him from one altitude to another, and he started crying. I stood beside him as a cop. He got shot. He didn't cry. He's in so much pain. We take him to the doctor, and they said he's got terminal cancer, brain cancer. He's going to die. And my dad had this thing where he loved sugar. Sugar accelerates cancer, by the way. And he wouldn't eat regular food. Every time I would land, I'd have to get under his seat because I'd be flying, and he always wanted to sit next to me because we loved, there are plenty of seats in the back, but he wanted to sit by me, so he'd sit by me. And he'd eat the top of the Hostess cupcake, and then he would lick out the white filling, which is so good. And then there's no sense filling up on that stuff that isn't good. So he'd chuck that underneath the seat, and then he'd go for another. So I'd have to get those. This time when I landed, though, I didn't clean it up. We took him to the hospital. Now, it was a couple months, he died, and it was a couple months before I went back to his plane because, I didn't want to see it and think about him, and it was just terrible. But I remember I went there, and I looked under the seat to pick it up, and there were those cupcakes that he was eating, and they were still alive. I mean, they were there. They looked fine. If that had been a banana, come on, somebody. Because this was fake. It was preservative, and I know what you might be saying. Well, at my age, I need all the preservatives I can get. That is not good. He was eating that stuff that was killing him. He never ate good food. Take vitamins, supplements, minerals, cod liver oil, green smoothies. We don't do that. Well, subsequently died at 56. All of my family died in their 50s. I'm 45. I'm not going to die early because I have an assignment and a commitment to God. And you and I need to get this information, which is power, and help people that can't help themselves. Now, here in St. Louis and in our church in Palm Beach, real soon, we're going to preach on healing in a few weeks in a row. And then I'm going to come back to Florida and St. Louis, and I'm going to have a special anointing service. And I'm going to have our pastoral team and myself, and we're going to have a Thursday night in Palm Beach and a Tuesday and a Wednesday in St. Louis, and we're going to lay hands on every sick person that you can bring. I'm talking terminal diseases, and we're believing that God will heal them. I'm talking about people that have sicknesses that are just unto death, and God can do it miraculously through his power and continued teaching. So as we recap, ask God for help. Everybody shout, ask God for help.
Ask God for help.
Be thankful when he does help you.
Be thankful when he does.
Celebrate the little things.
It's
like medicine.
And then I must
do what I can do
so
God can do
what
I cannot do. I want to warn you this right now. In America, there's a Walgreens and a CVS on every corner. And the first thing they're going to tell you when you go to the doctor is you need this, that, and the other. And I'm not suggesting at all that I'm playing doctor because I am not. But I sit beside the deathbed of a lot of people who did exactly what good, trained doctors told them to do. And sometimes it's not so good because the side effects of this prescription that is prescribed to you by the drug dealers that are licensed and legalized in America will kill you. And that's why they say all the side effects. Are you having trouble sleeping at night? We can help you with that. But this causes this, that, and the other, and blindness and temporary baldness, and you could have... What in the world going on? See, you're sleeping good, but you wake up and you feel dead. There's a better way to do it, and it's found through, one, asking God, and then, two, change the way you eat. Let's just try that. For 10 days, start drinking loads of water. 10 days, start walking a little bit. Even if it's just a slow walk, that's all you can do. Start doing that, moving. Get some calories to burn there, and your body will so become alive again that it'll drive sickness and disease far from you. And then secondly, I encourage you, come out, get involved in a church where we teach the Word of God. And I'll promise you, you'll have to introduce yourself to yourself a year from now if you do the Word of God, because you're going to look good, you're going to feel good, and you're going to help others. Say this with me right now. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your anointing, your Word. I ask you, God, for mercy and help in a time of trouble. And I thank you, God, that what you started in me, you're going to finish. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Did you enjoy today? If you did, give God praise.
People connect, families grow, lives are changed. People connect, families grow.